Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the Academica Vertex. I'm your host, Ollie, and you can find us all on Twitter at @_FFAcademy. Today, I'm joined with Aditya as we look forward and backwards to game weeks 1 and 2. We'll be discussing topics such as unexpected performers, price rises, and captaincy choices. But without further ado, let's say hello to Aditya. How are you doing today, mate?
Well, fine, mate. It's good to be back for episode 2. And we're looking finally towards game week 2 now, since game week 1 has, you know, finally ended. A lot of surprising stuff has happened. Last game week, Salah scoring a hat-trick, Vardy scoring 2 from the spot even Salah scored. There's a lot to talk on, so yeah, I'm excited.
And just before we get into the podcast, I'd just like to say that, unfortunately, we did have some problems with the first episode 2 we recorded just 3 days before the deadline of game week 1. And unfortunately, there was some problems with the editing, and we weren't actually able to release that. So, but I'm glad we're here now and recording this podcast. So, it's good to be back again and good to talk fantasy football. And wow, what a week it's been. And I think, you know, I can speak for all FBL managers when I say, you know, we really have not missed football. Well, that's apart from Mane captainers, of course, but game week one just didn't disappoint. From that opening Arsenal fixture against Fulham to the final game in Brighton, it was a brilliant weekend of football. We saw one of the most exciting games this season, potentially, in that 4-3, 7-goal thriller in Liverpool. The newly promoted Leeds playing the champions Liverpool and really playing toe-to-toe football. And what a game week it has been. What's been your take on it?
Really, really great game week, I would say. Finally, with football being back, you know, it's finally good to see. But I've seen on Twitter, people were kind of very disappointed with their captaincy picks. Many are taking hits, that they're rushing towards the decision, going for a wild card and all. But overall, I guess it was just the first game week and you don't need to be so, you know, what I would say, proactive, taking rash decisions at the start. Yeah, for me, the last game week was pretty good. My team managed to score a total of 70 points. That was because of Salah scoring a hat-trick and I was very fortunate to captain him. So, things aside, if you ask me, in general, what did I see last game week? Arsenal were pretty good against Fulham. Willian was excellent. Although he did get, I guess, 2 assists. And one of his free kicks hit the post. So, Willian is definitely a one to watch, I would say. But the reason, if you ask me why I didn't pick him, is always there's a concern with another player available in a similar position. That's Nicolas Pepe. So, there's always kind of an uncertainty who's going to play. But as of now, I think Willian is kind of, you know, secured with his spot. And the performance was great. So, the price rise also now justifies, and people have kind of, you know, making sideways moves and all from Son, Dele Alli, and also there was a rise there. Southampton, very surprising loss to Crystal Palace. Many of us had, you know, Che Adams and Danny Ings, Kyle Walker-Peters and all, and they lost. But I guess Ings and Adams' shot got saved by Gaita, so again, we were kind of unlucky. Wilfred Zaha was impressive. He did manage to score in the sole goal in the game. So, again, a player to watch out. We'll see how things go ahead as the season progresses. Then, the big fixture of the game week, I would say, Liverpool against Leeds. And I would say Liverpool just managed to, you know, escape the defeat or a draw because Salah was great. He managed to score in 3 goals. Although 2 came from the, you know, set piece that was a penalty. So, but still, they look good. Robertson look better than Trent. But we'll see how things go on. As I would say, some people kind of look tired and, you know, they're not match fit because of, you know, playing in the Nations League and all. So, Van Dijk scored. His error also led to a goal for Leeds. But Leeds are a great side to watch. And they kind of went toe-to-toe with Liverpool. And it's great to see a team play, you know, in that fashion. And with Clich, Bamford, Harrison, and all scoring goals. Eiling and Dallas also played well defensively. So, could be few options for us to choose in, you know, the budget options. West Ham Newcastle was a boring game. But I would say it was a battle of mid-price players. Maximin blanking. Suchek looked good. Wilson continued his goal scoring record against West Ham. Jamal Lewis also looked good. He created three chances and so is a promising option for 4.5. The next game, as I would say, Leicester eased past West Brom. Vardy scoring two penalties. Justin getting an assist for a penalty. But Harvey Barnes was an unlucky guy. He had a good number of shots, I guess 8 or so, if I'm not wrong. Let me just check it out. So Harvey Barnes had a total of 5 attempts and he didn't score. So numbers should, good for Harvey Barnes. So if you're onto him, just hold him. Just don't rush. So he looked good. Leicester played well. West Brom, not good. Spurs. Now, a lot of us had backed on, Kane, Saul, Davies, Dyer, Ali, Mora, and they just played so bad. They were dreadful, poor. They're not pressing well, not creating a lot of chances, not quick. And boy, oh boy, the 3 signings which Everton got in, Doucouré, James Rodriguez, and Alan, all look great. Richarlison should have scored a hat-trick. He didn't, but Calvert-Lewin managed to score in. Lucas Digne looked good. So Everton are a great side to watch, I guess, now with Ancelotti also. He's a good reputed manager and they're playing well. Wolves again, the next game, they ease past Sheffield. Jimenez, as usual, continues a great form. Ruben Vinagre was benched. That was a surprise for all of us. We were expecting him, those who had him to start. And luckily for me, Mitchell came off the bench. So I was fortunate there. But Roman Saiz scored. Potence and Neto managed to grab an assist. They're both priced 5.5. So if they start consistently, Wolves' fixtures look good after game week 3. So there's a potential option for us to get in there. And Chelsea, again, they beat Brighton. Both the fullbacks managed to score for Brighton and Chelsea, respectively. That's Reece James and Lamptey. James played, I guess, as a midfielder since Jorginho got subbed off due to an injury. Werner manages to win a penalty and Jorginho manages to score. Havertz, not that impressive, but we'll see how things go on. So that's basically my brief review of Game Week 1. Hopefully, I've not taken a lot of time.
No, it's a very good review and made some good points there. Willian actually got 3 assists, not 2, which was brilliant from him as in his new Arsenal club. And he was actually an underperformer this week from Fantasy Football Scout. He was expected nearly a goal, so he expected 0.87 goals in the game against. Of course, it was only against their London rivals, Fulham. But it was an incredible game from Arsenal. And Aubameyang has now signed his new contract. And hopefully, from a fantasy football perspective, they look to be on the up. And I think it was an interesting game week, as you said. Liverpool and Leeds, just that was such an amazing game. And I enjoyed watching that so much. And the most surprising game for me was that Crystal Palace Southampton. It was a defensive Roy Hodgson masterclass. I think I was so surprised that Southampton didn't even score one. And they looked very dangerous, had a lot of sort of, maybe didn't look so dangerous, but had statistically wise a lot of chances and were unable to convert them, which I was surprised with by the likes of Danny Ings. And wow, Everton, what a side. As you said, I watched the Tottenham game and it was brilliant from start to finish from the side. Allen and Doucouré completely ran the midfield and controlled it from minute one. And as you said, Ancelotti is such a capable manager and a brilliant manager with a very good reputation. I think Everton this season could be going far, and they've had good transfer windows before. And when they bought in Richarlison, they bought in Yerry Mina, and they still underperformed. But I think this season they definitely could be pushing for Europa League, and they only got the goal from a set piece from Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who rose up and headed the ball in. But I think they just looked so strong. That it's a completely new midfield. And I was very surprised when James Rodriguez didn't get any more FPL returns. He was such a prominent player in the side. And they were really a wonder to watch. And I personally very much enjoyed watching the South American in the Premier League, and I very much hope that we'll see more from him this season. Anyway, moving on, I would just like to talk about the best statistic-wise players this game week. I know we saw saw some players score from the spot. We saw Salah score two penalties. We saw Vardy score two penalties. And an interesting statistic I have is that Vardy actually was expected 0.0 goals from open play. And likewise, Mo Salah scored two goals from the penalty spot and then one from a free kick, as you said earlier. So are there any players that have caught your eye, or any maybe sort of underperformers, hot prospects, or unexpected performers?
As you said, James Rodriguez, he was great. I mean, he created five chances and he was looking good. I mean, I was expecting something was going to happen because the way he was passing, dribbling and moving past, you know, Spurs players, there's always looking like there was a goal bound to come by his pass and Richarlison managing not to score a few of them. But both of them looked good. Everton as a side looked good. But as you see, I think his ownership kind of, you know, shot up once the game ended. So I think it was like under 10% and now he's like 11.1. So people have managed to, you know, take a note of the way Everton have played and they've managed to get him in. So Rodriguez, Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison. Again, Richarlison could have scored a hat-trick, as I said. He had loads of chances. And as the numbers also say, he had 7 attempts on goal. That's the second best, with Mo Salah having 9 attempts. So Richarlison had more chances on goal, attempts, I would say, but didn't manage to score. So probably we'll see in a few weeks where Richarlison, you know, starts to get in form with James, you know, also supplying. Another funny stat is that if I take a look, I guess it's Walker Peters had 29 touches in the final third. It's more than even Roberto Firmino. Yeah, it's the same as Roberto Firmino had. It's the same amount of touches in the final third. Robertson, Trent had 30 and 31 touches in the final third, whereas Walker Peters had 29 and Tariq Lamptey had 31. So you can see these two are looking kind of offensive fullbacks. Maybe Walker Peters, Southampton, they just created 6 chances and they were unlucky not to score. But the next game is against Spurs and it's going to be an interesting one because although Spurs also need to, you know, bounce back after the defeat, and it looks like they're going to sign in 2 new players. So we'll see how things go on. So Walker Peters will play well. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. Give him more time. Just don't rush and take the players out. Another thing is that, as obvious, Mo Salah, he was on fire. As we could see, he looked more sharper and fitter. And he managed to take in his chances well. He had 21 touches in the penalty area. That's by far the most by, you know, he's 12 more than Richarlison. Richarlison had 9 touches. Mane also had 9. So Salah was more of, you know, predominantly loitering outside the box and managed to take in his chances well. All the 2 were from the penalty, you know, set piece. So that's another thing we can talk on. But as I said, Salah, Richarlison, Harvey Barnes, as I said in the review part, he had 5 attempts on goal and was unlucky not to score. Antonio also had 4 attempts. That's just the numbers which I'm reading here. So, you know, we also need to take a look at how they play in the game. That's, you know, eye spot game, how you watch. Like, you know, what do you say? It's, you know, match watching and eye witnessing the game at hand will give you a better perspective of who's playing when. So, Roman Saiz again. He scored a goal unexpectedly out of nowhere. Reece James also scoring a goal. Jorginho scoring, you know, a lot of points. Jeff Hendrick scoring 14 points, you know. Leicester's new signing, Timothy Castagne, also scored a goal. So, Willian getting a hat-trick of assists and look good. So, you know, Gaita scoring 10 points. So, a lot of unexpected things happens because it's the first game week and it gets very difficult to predict performance.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary. And James Rodriguez definitely was a real eye catcher. And an interesting player that I've picked out has been Patrick Bamford. We've seen him have a price rise up to 5.6. A lot of managers have been transferring him in. Obviously, he's got that rotation risk with Rodrigo, the 6 million forward, who is the Leeds record signing. What was interesting is that he was expected 0.08 goals in the match and managed to convert one of these chances. I think he wasn't really heavily involved in the attack. The whole Leeds side played so well, and we've seen the Leeds ownership shoot up this week, and it'll be interesting to see if Bamford plays, or if he if maybe Bielsa starts a two up front with Rodrigo and Bamford. But the reason that he may have had a price rise recently is because they do play Fulham next, and we've seen how defensively poor Fulham have been. And this was a fixture I was really, really keen to capitalise on. I was looking to get Bamford in, but unfortunately I was just a bit too late. He's 5.5 and went up to 5.6. So I was too late on the Bamford bandwagon, maybe you may say. But I think in a way I'm sort of glad. We know how unpredictable Patrick Bamford has been in the past. We know his consistency isn't brilliant. So I think if I were you, I would wait just a little bit longer to see Bamford and to see his rotation risk as well. You know, we don't know that he's 100% nailed in that Leeds side. He did go off the pitch at 62 minutes, but he showed a brilliant understanding, and he was really breaking the lines within that Liverpool side. The whole Leeds team, where there were a number of times where Robertson and Trent were really caught out of position. You know, Robertson would be really high up the pitch, and they'd play a ball through on the right wing, and they'd catch Liverpool out, and it shows that teams often sit back against Liverpool. But if teams can do what they did, Leeds did against Liverpool, it could make for an interesting season. And Liverpool, they look shaky, they look on the ropes at the moment, so maybe it will take a bit of time for them to settle back down and settle back into the ways that they had for most of last season before the lockdown. But anyway, as I was just speaking on Patrick Bamford, and we were speaking on Willian, they've both had price rises. Willian's gone up to 8.1, which is still considerably very cheap for a player of his quality, and Bamford up to 5.6. At the time of recording, those are the only two price rises, but we're likely to see price rises in Fernandes, Calvert-Lewin, Gabriel Martial, and De Bruyne. So it's the start of the season. The budget is tight. You know, we only have 100 million, give or take. My question is, how would you deal with these price rises?
That's a very difficult question. As I said in the first episode, as we were talking about, you know, the structure and what we are looking at, and I said, if you remember, to keep at least, you know, 0.5 or 1 million in the bank, because that is the only way you have the flexibility, you know, at the last moment before a certain game week to make the change. Now, for me, I got in Bruno Fernandes when I made the squad itself. So I had him on the bench as a third sub for game week one. So it's very easy for me to just play him now. But for others who are looking at the fixture and who want to get in Fernandes, De Bruyne and all now, that's just because of how they played last season. Because if you look at Man City, they're playing Wolves, and Wolves, you know, managed to beat Sheffield, who were defensively solid last season. So even with United, as you can see, they have not gotten a lot of players in. They were supposed to get in Sancho and all, but I don't know what's going to happen. They've just signed in Van de Beek. Few players have arrived to training a little late, and it looks like they might be on the bench rather than starting. There's, like I heard, it's Van Bissaka and a few of them, like Matic, Mata and all. They're not going to start, but we'll see. So with Crystal Palace also managed to beat Southampton. So unless you feel like they're going to score and you want to get them in, that's the only time you can, you know, get in and get the players in. Or else what I would say is just save your transfer if it's really important. Like, for example, if you have a player like Ruben Vinagre, now he's lost his spot because with Markel starting, it's easy to understand that he has lost his place. So there's no point keeping in. And plus, he looks like he's going to drop in price maybe in the next day or so. So we have to get him out for me and for others who have him. So you have to get him out, and then you have to get another player in. So at the start, don't take hits, I would say, but I've seen a lot of them have taken hits. Take hits only if you feel that the players you're getting, you're going to deliver and they're going to make a difference to your squad.
And yeah, well, I'm one of the victims of a hit. I've already made two transfers this week. I was so sort of worried about the Bruno price rise, and he'd be out of reach for me, and he's looking up to go to 10.6. So yeah, it's I'd say to deal with the price rise is difficult at the start, because if you don't make the transfer sooner rather than later, you can find the player is very quickly out of arm's length, and you won't be able to get the player without maybe downgrading one of your more premiums, like Aubameyang. I did Son to Fernandes, and I made sure to do that quickly, because I had 1.5 or 1 million in the bank, sorry. And if he went up to 10.6, it would have cost me 1.6 instead of 1.5, and then I wouldn't have been able to get him. But however, the price rises and price drops are difficult at the start of the game week, at the start of the season, sorry. I'd recommend just keeping your eyes peeled and playing sensibly to the price rises and falls. If you keep an eye out for the rises and keep an eye out for the falls. I know Ali is expected to fall tonight, and Son is very soon expected to fall, which is interesting as for a player of his calibre. And he has such great fixtures, playing Southampton next, and then they've got Newcastle not long after. If I was to say, how would you deal with the price rises? If you really want a player such as Fernandes or whoever you want to get in, make sure that you're going to have the budget and make sure you're going to have the ability to get them in further down the line, because what you don't want to end up with is a scenario where you've saved your two transfers, you're ready to make them, and suddenly they're out of arm's length. So yeah, that's just my advice on the price rises and falls. I've sort of tried to be quick with them, and I think Aditya was even more clever by benching Bruno in the first week. But yeah, I think that is my take on the price rises, and I've just told you about my transfers and of Bruno. So carrying on with that theme, and talking about the hot prospects for FPL, are there any potential transfers that you're going to be making? I know we said that Vinagre is no longer nailed for Wolves. We saw, I think, Traore playing a right wing back, and Podence at 5.5 coming into that Wolves team with an assist was really brilliant to see from Nuno Espirito. So are there any potential transfers that you could make?
With respect to my team, as I said, Ruben Vinagre, he's out. But the only player I'm looking to get in is one of the other Wolves defenders. That would preferably be week 3, because the run of games from game week 3 to game week 7 are too good. So, but for short term, I will actually look at, saving my transfer. But the fourth player on my bench, I have to check in who you want to play. That's Mitchell and Brewster. Now, if Brewster completes his move to Sheffield, that's going to be, time to party for me, because I was expecting there were some rumblings going here and there. There might be a loan or a permanent deal to one of the Premier League sides. So that's what we were getting news from, that Liverpool are looking to loan him or transfer him out with a buyback or something to the other only Premier League clubs is what they were looking at. So that's why it made sense getting him in. Him and Suchek look like a great pair if you have them, just to rotate among based on the price, because they offer you a great value for the price. Suchek also was great. I think in terms of chances created, he had like 2 or 3 for West Ham. That was, I think, the second or third best from their side itself for West Ham. So also, he looked good. He's like a Fellaini kind of a player for David Moyes is what I would say. So this transfer in wise, maybe Vinagre to, as I said, maybe Saiz or someone is what I would look at for game week 3. But now, considering that he's going to drop, the problem is whatever transfer you make, you have to look even at a long-term perspective. Now, we know that the Carabao Cup games are still going on. There's still 8 Premier League clubs yet to play, I think, in the next day or so. So it's very difficult to make in your transfers before these clubs have played, because you may never know. You get in a player and then he gets injured. If he's from one of these clubs, you'll have to take a hit to again transfer him out. So, and even Spurs are yet to play. I think they're playing their Europa League qualifier game. That's, I guess, tomorrow. So that's on Thursday. So again, it's difficult and it's very tricky for us to get in a player, because we know that, I guess, Newcastle, they beat Blackburn Rovers in their, this one of these Carabao Cup, that was around 2, I think. And Maximin got injured, and then Steve Bruce said that he's fit to play, so that's not a major concern. So again, there's a lot of things you have to see before you're making a move. And if you ask my preferred transfer, as I said, it would be to one of the Wolves defender itself. But looking at that, he's going to drop. That's an added concern. Maybe I look at somebody like Jamal Lewis, because he was great against West Ham. So, and also he created, I think, 3 chances. That's pretty good. And he was providing a lot of, you know, attacking potential from the left side. So defensively also, they managed to keep in a clean sheet. But for a 4.5 million defender, you can't ask a lot sometimes. Because defensively, no side is going to be strong at the start. It takes time for most of the clubs to settle in with their style of play. So you have to look at a player who offers you both a little bit defensively and offensively. So hence, I generally tend to prefer fullbacks like Walker Peters, Trent Alexander-Arnold. Vinagre also was a good pick, considering that he was going to start, but he isn't. So Jamal Lewis would be a player, or one of the Arsenal players, if I fancy, like Rob Holding. But their run of games from game week 3 to game week 7 are kind of a little bit tricky, I would say, up and down. So it's very difficult. Maybe James Justin, he managed to get in 9 points. But again, if Ricardo Pereira is fit and Castagne moves to the left wing back, left back, and Ricardo goes to the right back, I don't think Justin is going to play. So whatever transfer I make, or generally what I would suggest people to do, is make it looking a little bit for a long-term move for at least 4 game weeks or 5 game weeks. So as I said, a Wolves defender is the best thing for me to do, ideally, because from game week 3, their fixtures are great. Or maybe get in Jamal Lewis or one of the Everton players like Coleman or Keane. So,
Yeah, I think that's the question on a lot of people's lips at the moment, how to replace Vinagre. And I know that James Justin had a brilliant game week. He was in my team and got the clean sheet for Leicester against an attackingly poor West Brom side. I was very excited to see Pereira at the start of the season, but I think he just, at the moment, doesn't really have the players around him to have the support. So for me, I think Charlie Taylor looks very good as a replacement for Vinagre. I think after Leicester, he's got Southampton, Newcastle, West Brom, which are 3 brilliant fixtures, and we know the Sean Dyche philosophy and how many clean sheets that they kept last season. So Taylor and Lamptey looked brilliant against Chelsea. He has such pace on and off the ball. He got an assist from that Trossard goal, which unfortunately Kepa again seems to be making more mistakes this season. So that Chelsea defence looking solid with Thiago Silva and Chilwell, although they didn't play, they'll be solid signings. But with Kepa between the sticks, I'm not sure about how good they'll be, and I'm not sure how many times Reece James will provide like that. But Taylor and Lamptey look like brilliant replacements, and Justin, if you don't have them already. Mitchell and Ferguson, the 2 Crystal Palace 4 million boys, look good, and Ferguson, when he comes back, it'll be good, because it will provide more stability if you have Mitchell and Ferguson for your team. But yeah, I think replacing Ruben Vinagre is a important transfer. And then also getting those Man City and Man United assets back in. We've talked about it before, but it's how you want to do it now. So, yeah, I think now we'll move on to the preview of game week 2. Obviously, we saw the Salah captaincy deliver 40 points last week. And for me, my captaincy choice, although I did go with Aubameyang last week, again will be Aubameyang against that West Ham side. It just looks too good of a fixture to miss for me. They conceded two against Newcastle, although they did sign Callum Wilson, who got on the score sheet. I think Arsenal look in good form right now with Willian, and I hope he continues to play over Pepe. And Willian also looks to be on free kicks, which is a good sign for his owners. But for me, my captaincy choice is definitely Aubameyang against West Ham. And there are other options, of course. Wolves play Man City. We saw Wolves do the double over Man City, beat them twice. Traore is such a prominent player in both of those fixtures. So I guess, obviously, not a captaincy choice, but Traore owners, get ready for potential returns. Maybe it was a one-off last season, but yeah, Everton play West Brom as the opening fixture. I think this is also a fixture that can't be overlooked. Everton have been so good against Tottenham. So I think maybe potentially bring Calvert-Lewin in if you don't have him already, or if you don't have any Leicester assets already. Digne looks very good. So that Everton-West Brom will be interesting to see the result of. And then obviously the Leeds-Fulham that we talked about earlier in the pod. Leeds with looking to capitalise on, at the moment, a poor Fulham side. To be honest, I do hope Fulham play well. I don't want to see sort of teams be written off now, although it is good for FPL for captaincy choices and to play weaker teams. I'd like to see Fulham be competitive this season. We saw last season they were in the Championship, and then the season before they were in the Premier League. So it'd be good if they had a good run of form. And then Manchester United versus Crystal Palace, of course. Fernandes will be playing there. Another captaincy choice for me. For me at the moment, my vice-captain is Bruno Fernandes and my captain, Aubameyang. So it's between Fernandes and Aubameyang at the moment. The only reason that I personally wouldn't captain Fernandes is because it's going to be a bit unexpected for United. It'll be their first game back in the Premier League, whereas Arsenal will have already played the game. And I think, to be honest, with Aubameyang signing his new contract, this is the perfect time for a big return for him. Southampton played Tottenham, two sides who did poorly in game week one. So again, it'll be interesting, hopefully, for my team personally. Shea Adams will return, and then the Newcastle Brighton, which is again a good fixture for both sides, and hopefully one for the Lamptey owners. Brighton will keep a clean sheet, and then we get onto the big game on Sunday afternoon, which is Chelsea host Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. We've seen the new signings such as Havertz and Werner, and this again is going to be a very exciting game. I really hope that it's not a sort of boring 0-0 fixture, because we saw how entertaining Liverpool were in the first game week, and I hope it's another goal fest and something interesting like that. And then we get on to Leicester Burnley. Leicester hoping to keep another clean sheet, and for me as well, with James Justin, Aston Villa, Sheffield United, and as I said, Wolves, Man City. So those are all the fixtures for game week two. What's your take on it?
I think you've pretty much explained everything in depth, but I'll kind of just give you my brief overview of it. I just don't want to take a lot of time. Everton West Brom, again, a great fixture if you want to captain one of the Everton players. If you want to take a chance, maybe a differential pick, you can go with somebody like Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, or James Rodriguez if you want to take a chance. It's just if you want to climb up the ranks quickly. But this is just saying, it's just game week two, so I would say don't take a lot of risk at the start. These things can be performed maybe midway through the season where you need to get up quickly. But now, as I said, Everton, they created Everton created 13 chances and they had a total of 15 attempts on goal. So they're going to go full guns blazing against West Brom. And defensively, West Brom, they let in 13 shots against Leicester. So It's going to be a great game. We'll see how offensively Everton are going to go. So a differential captain pick could be from this fixture. Leeds Fulham, a Fulham kind of, you know, set back against Arsenal. So it's going to be, I think, Leeds are going to go full all out attack wise. So we'll see who's going to play. So there are a few players you could keep an eye on. That's Harrison, Klitsch, and either of their full backs, if I'm not wrong. That's, I think, Eiling and Dallas. So these players can keep an eye in this fixture. And then, if you, as I was speaking about a 4.5 million different, even Eiling or Dallas could be a good pick. Only for this week to replace Vinagre, because Vinagre is due to a price drop, as I said. There could be a price drop in the next few days. So that's one. United play Palace. And that's a difficult game, I would say, because, you know, the rumors around United, it's not looking great. But the way United ended the season last time, it was pretty good. And offensively, they looked great. But Palace managed to beat Southampton. So it's going to be an interesting game to see how Fernandes, Martial, Rashford and all play against in a defensive-oriented Palace side. So we've seen United struggling against Palace over the last two seasons. They've also lost against them. A few surprise defeats here and there. So we'll see how this game goes out. But captaincy-wise, it's a risk, I would say, for Fernandes, because fixture-wise, it looks good. But performance is, you know, needed to, you know, kind of, what I would say. You need to look at the performance first and then decide. So let them play a game. Then maybe game week 3, game week 4, you could probably pick one of them. Arsenal, West Ham, this, I think, is one of the easiest captaincy option. It's going to be Aubameyang. Southampton, Spurs, both the teams lost their game week 1 fixture. So they look, obviously, both of them will look to bounce back. But Spurs would be more of a tired team because they play this Europa League, you know, qualifier. So we'll see if Southampton can take the advantage of that. And also, if they sign in Sergio Reguilon, or Reguilon, if I pronounce it right. I have Ben Davies, and people who have Ben Davies, we are in trouble. So that's going to be another transfer out option that could force me to take a hit. But I just pray Mourinho doesn't, you know, start Reguilon if they do manage to sign in before this, you know, game week 2. So hopefully game week 3, then we'll see. Newcastle, Brighton, again, we'll see how things go on in this game, especially with Brighton's defense and Newcastle's defense. Most of the people will definitely be having their defensive assets. And with Lamptey and Matt Ryan being owned a lot over the Brighton side, and with Newcastle, it's more of, you know, Callum Wilson, Saint-Maximin, Ryan Fraser also scored a goal in the Carabao Cup game. So, and then Jamal Lewis. So it's going to be people will pray for a nil-nil draw, but we'll see offensively what this game is going to give. Chelsea, Liverpool, big game. Both the teams are going to attack. So it's going to be a fun game to watch, but we'll see really if Chelsea's signings are going to make a big difference. And Liverpool's defense is going to be put to test now with them being sloppy against Leeds. We'll see how they're going to play against Chelsea and how Chelsea are going to offensively attack. Leicester, Burnley. Burnley have not played so far this season, so this is their first game. Leicester managed to beat West Brom. Burnley defensively were great last season. But generally, at the start of the season, Burnley are quite sloppy and bad, and then they kind of pick up their form midway. So it's going to be interesting to see whether Burnley defensively can play the same as what they did last season, and people will kind of rush in to get their defensive assets like Taylor, Pope and all. Then it's Villa, Sheffield. Sheffield lost to Wolves. Villa have not played so far in this season, but they managed to win their Carabao Cup game against, if I can take a look, that was against Burton. So they managed to win 3-1. Watkins and Grealish managed to score. So it's going to be interesting to watch how Ollie Watkins is going to play, you know, in the Premier League now, and could be a great pick priced at 6, maybe as Villa's fixtures, you know, turn up well. That's preferably from game week 9. So we'll have to wait and watch how they play. Last game is Wolves Man City. As you rightly said, Wolves managed to do a double over Man City, and with City playing for the first time this season, again, it's going to be interesting for me to watch how City play and which City asset to target and to get in for game week 3. So going to be an interesting game. An interesting game week overall, but the ideal captaincy choice, as I said, is going to be Aubameyang. That's the best. If you want to be bold, I said differential is Everton, a pick, or even Mo Salah, or there's an option there. If you still feel he's going to go all guns blazing, this game we could probably see Mane even scoring. So it's going to be difficult to, you know, pin down which Liverpool asset is going to play which game week.
Yeah,
so
I think that's
overall it's going to be a fun game week to watch.
Chelsea game, as you said, hopefully that's a goal fest. And just some quick transfer news before we finish. Emi Martinez has signed for Aston Villa. We haven't mentioned that yet on the podcast. So that now, potentially, Emi Martinez looks like the best 4.5 keeper, in my opinion, in FPL. If you're doing your wild cards or something like that. He was unreal for Arsenal last season. He kept two clean sheets on the bounce when he first came into the side. And personally, as a Reading fan, he was on a loan spell at Reading, so I just get them in the pod quickly. But he's such a brilliant keeper, and I have really high expectations for him at Aston Villa. So I think for me personally, he's a definitely the best 4.5 keeper. And just a quick rumor as well, Gareth Bale is linked back to Tottenham again, maybe a swap deal for Dele Alli. So who knows where that will go, and be interesting to see what his price is. Maybe somewhere in the region of 10 million. I know that his past seasons haven't been too good, and he's just been playing golf. But finally, just a quick question from Red Falcon. Is Pickford a viable option moving forward, specifically game week two? Well, in game week two, he plays West Brom. Obviously, that does look like a very good fixture. We saw how poor they were in game week one. And in his next 10 games, he's only got two difficult fixtures in Liverpool and Man United. And as we've been talking about, Everton have looked so good on this streak that they're on and under Carlo Ancelotti. So I think Pickford potentially does look like a good option. I know he's not exactly a 4.5 million keeper. He's at five, so he's looking a bit more premium. Everton did, of course, only keep nine clean sheets all of last season. So how you want to deal with after the good fixtures is up to you. But personally, I'm not looking to get Pickford in. I'd be more tempted to get someone like Digne in or someone with a attacking potential. But I think if you feel like it's right and it's going to do, it fits in with your team, I'd definitely say go for that. He looked surprisingly good, I have to say, against Tottenham. In my opinion, he should be the third choice keeper for England after Pope and Dean Henderson. But he played for England in the Nations League, and he did look very good against Tottenham. So yeah, that's my response to the question. I think that sums up everything in the podcast today. Good luck to everyone on their game week two, and hopefully Mane owners will have a bit more fortune this week than the last. But we want to thank you all for listening at the Academica Vertex. Hopefully we should be back next week with another podcast. Thank you from me and everyone here, and hopefully we'll see you all next time.